book direct. If you're going to book your flights, like, think about the most critical parts of your travel experience and book direct. In our experience most recently, we were in Philadelphia for the second stop of our book tour. We were flying out on either the next to last or the last flight out, which in retrospect, I feel like we should have known better. But we were doing that, trying to maximize our time while we were there. And it was a few hours before the flight. We just happened to check. We booked direct. But we happened to check, and even still, we didn't get a prompt, but we saw a notification that, hey, this flight has actually been canceled. You need to reach out to us, and we're in the process of rebooking you, which we actually ended up turning down. Now, here's the thing. We were in the process of, like, we sprung into action really quickly, and we're trying to make this thing happen. But if we'd booked this through a third-party website, like, it would have been a complete disaster. Like,
we probably wouldn't have known about it.
No, we wouldn't have. It would have taken some time for us to figure it out. Like, they don't get the notifications quickly. Mm-hmm. Going back to the post that you were talking about in the flight attendant, she even said, if you're actually booking direct or you book through the app, in a lot of cases, you guys actually learn about delays or cancellations before the crew even learns about it, right? So it's just something to think about.
Welcome to the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success, where we explore life at the intersection of money. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Julian. And today's episode is about travel.
Yes.
The summer season is here. Families, couples, singles, nomads, everybody is in full force and looking to see the world, go somewhere, get out of the house.
Yeah.
And as somebody who has been in the trenches the last few weeks, it's really tough out there. So if you haven't traveled in the last few years, things have definitely changed.
Yeah.
It's not as smooth and seamless as it used to be.
No.
Airports are like either completely renovated or under construction, which affects everything from parking to temporary terminal locations. Like, you can, oh my gosh, it's just a mess out there. Like, not only is it way more expensive these days, but like the airlines are dealing with staffing challenges, which is leading to like really quick, abrupt cancellations. Mm-hmm. Passengers are over it. Pilots, like, long lines. Like, it is wild. And depending on who you fly with, the boarding process can be totally different.
Yeah,
like,
man.
There is no telling whether this is the new normal or just like a blip. I do not know. So we're talking about it today.
Yeah.
The entire travel, like, in the hospitality industry is just struggling with operational challenges. And this has been going on for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like they've kind of reached a tipping point because people are coming back en masse, and it's really kind of putting a lot of pressure on them. So we're hoping that we can offer some guidance to give you all a little bit something to consider before you guys head out there, and hopefully not end up wasting or getting burnt because something preventable happened to you.
Yeah, man. There are very few industries that are seeing the kind of swings that travel has seen over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. from really rapid declines where nobody's going anywhere to having to level back up because everybody wants to go everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
And so when you throw in things that they can't control, like, you know, COVID quarantines and in some cases just the weather, thunderstorms have been at record levels this summer. It's just really hard. And there was actually a thread that went viral a couple of days ago that was written by a flight attendant with her best tips for travel. And I don't remember all of them because it was like 15 or 20.
Yeah.
But one of the ones that I do remember was that she said, if the trip is under 7 hours, you're probably better off driving.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about that a lot because I think time-wise, she's probably right. It's a break even with time by the time you incorporate the security lines, the boarding, deplaning, all that jazz. And financially, even though gas prices are off the chain, like astronomical, she's probably right that it's better financially because there's only one gas tank as opposed to the 3 or 4 tickets that you have to buy when you're flying.
Yep.
But energetically, road trips can be a little scary, especially if you have young kids or a car that you haven't maintained the way that you should, or, you know, any number of variables. Like, cars aren't exempt from thunderstorms in the same way that planes are.
Or just breaking down from heat.
Yeah.
And like being stalled. And like a minor issue that you can get away with if you were just driving in like an urban setting, you can't get away with when you factor in like a 250 or 300 mile road trip.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, at the same time, in a world where both the airports and the airlines are both struggling, I do anticipate more road trips in our future. I mean, maybe not at the 7-hour variety. We probably have to work our way up to that. But we're fortunate to live in an area where just driving 3 or 4 hours can get you in a totally different state or climate or near a body of water. So we'll probably be hitting the road. But today we're primarily focused on air travel.
Yeah. Back in the day when things, to your point, were like, If it were a 3 or 4 hour flight, without question, like I was flat. Like I'm not driving that. But you know, even we took a couple 2 hour flights, and it's like, all right, that could still take a really, really long time. So, but nowadays, it's like, you know, you really kind of have to look at it case by case.
You really do.
Let's go ahead and jump in. And by the way, we're offering this perspective not just as your friendly neighborhood personal finance nerds and experts. This is also as people who've worked in the hospitality industry at all levels for like over a decade. So between the two of us, there's like over 25 years of experience in doing this behind the scenes and in operations. And so I'm going to start with the very first tip. And this is to book direct wherever and whenever possible. So what do I mean when I say book direct? Well, if you are like most people and you're getting ready to book travel, you want to do it the easiest way possible. Yeah. You want to be able to just bundle everything up and I don't want to have to go to multiple websites to book my flight and my travel. And if I need a car, right, I can just do it all on Expedia or I can just do it all on Kayak or I don't even know if Orbitz is still around.
I think so.
Maybe, but all of these companies, tons of these brands, you know what they are. If you're one of those people that use it, hey, and we use those sites too, but for very minimal things. But in this case, where we're talking about the capacity issues and the struggles that airlines and airports are experiencing, booking direct when you're trying to book your flight is absolutely critical. So what do I mean by that? Booking direct means if you're going to go to Expedia and book a flight for Delta, your better a better decision for you is actually to go straight to Delta.com and book your flight that way. Why? Because when, not if, when you have a challenge, a hiccup, a cancellation, a delay or something like that, your best bet for getting a resolution to that problem is going to come from the airlines directly, not from what's considered a third party site. We've experienced that several times. Years ago, we experienced this when we traveled to, I don't know if you remember this, Italy. And we were in Rome trying to get to Sicily. And we booked everything super conveniently. But like we did not factor in these additional layers of like, one, we're in a completely different place where they don't speak the language. And on top of that, I'm waiting for Expedia to tell me that my, I think it was like Air Italia or Alitalia.
Yeah, and the codes don't match up. So we were thinking that our booking confirmation was our flight confirmation. Correct. And so when we would look up the number on Air Italia's flight, it's like, you don't have a ticket. Yeah, they don't know what that is.
What is your confirmation number? They don't have that information.
Yeah.
And I know what you're thinking. They should know this because we're all spoiled. These systems do not talk. I'm telling you this right now before you deal with this so that you don't get mad at the customer service rep when they tell you, well, my system says this, your system says that.
You were booked, but not ticketed.
You were booked, but not ticketed. This different language, I'm telling you. And we were learning this the hard way as well, right? So book direct. If you're going to book your flights, like think about the most critical parts of your travel experience and book direct. In our experience most recently, we were in Philadelphia for the second stop of our book tour. We were flying out on either the next to last or the last flight out, which in retrospect, I feel like we should have known better. But we were doing that trying to maximize our time while we were there. And it was a few hours before the flight. We just happened to check. We booked direct. But we happened to check, and even still, we didn't get a prompt, but we saw a notification that, hey, this flight has actually been canceled. You need to reach out to us, and we're in the process of rebooking you, which we actually ended up turning down. Now, here's the thing. We were in the process of, like, we sprung into action really quickly, and we're trying to make this thing happen. But if we'd booked this through a third-party website, like, it would have been a complete disaster. Like,
we probably wouldn't have known about it.
No, we wouldn't have. It would have taken some time for us to figure it out. Like, they don't get the notifications quickly. Mm-hmm. Going back to the post that you were talking about in the flight attendant, she even said, if you're actually booking direct or you book through the app, in a lot of cases, you guys actually learn about delays mm-hmm. or cancellations before the crew
yeah.
even learns about it, right? So it's just something to think about. I recognize that, you know, you may be looking to save money on the front end by booking with a third party. You're going to get like a little bit of a discount. I get that. But if you're trying to avoid delays and cancellations during a time right now where they are at their peak, the mm-hmm. weekend in which we were traveling, I want to say at last count, just over the 2 days that we were gone, there were 1,400 flights canceled mm-hmm. Immediately. And mm-hmm. so it's just something to consider, guys, because, listen, fortunately, we were able to just say, all right, our son is okay. He's with my mom. Let's just go ahead, rebook, and have some fun and enjoy Philly for one more day. But that's cost us like an extra $1,000 between yeah. like food and trying to find a hotel room on our own and rebooking on another airline. So we don't want that to happen to you guys. Book direct. That way, if something happens, you don't have to worry about decoding anything, and you're going to be prioritized when it comes to dealing with a cancellation or trying to rebook with the particular airline that already canceled the flight.
Yeah, so cancellations like the one that we had can have huge financial consequences. Mm-hmm. You may be thinking that the airlines will reimburse you for your expenses, nope. but no. They typically only do that when they've overbooked the flight and then you volunteer to stay back. But even then, it's a voucher system. It's not like corporate travel where you get to pick where you want to stay and what you want to eat and mm-hmm. turn in receipts and they just give you your money back. So like Julian mentioned, it was expensive for us. We had to come out of pocket for an extra night at a hotel room. In our case, we had to rebook on a totally different airline because the options that Delta was giving us was a layover and scheduling nightmare. We would have had to stop in two different cities.
And probably wouldn't have gotten home for like another day and a half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we had to pay for meals. So in these instances, our best advice is to have a contingency plan in mind because you're going to have the customer service team help you. You got to help them help you. Mm-hmm. So run through before you get there the scenario of what happens if your flight is suddenly canceled. Do you have old friends or colleagues in the area that you can crash with? Like, make sure you have an updated number for them. Go like a couple of their Facebook pictures so they know that you're still alive. Like, just say something to them. You know, are you somewhere where you can rent a car and drive to another airport? Can you fly somewhere close to home and then drive in? Mm-hmm. Because to your point, when they're canceling upwards of 1,000 flights per day, don't assume that you'll be able to go home the next morning like we did without coming out of pocket significantly.
Right.
Right. If we hadn't been willing to pay the $1,000, which is flight, hotel, food, all that stuff, then we probably would have been stuck for a couple of days because we weren't the only ones impacted. It wasn't just our flight.
Right.
So we're very lucky that Atlanta's a major hub and has several flights coming in and out of it from several different airlines. But if you're in a smaller city, a more regional airport, the likelihood that these mass cancellations and delays will affect you for several days is very real.
I mean, I'll add two more points to that. One is also the effect of, like, if you have a child.
Yeah. Right?
If you're traveling with a child, like, I can't even imagine what would happen if he wasn't with our son when this happened. Like, luckily, we were able to make that call, and she was fine because we kind of pre-planned for any kind of scenario by moving my mom closer to us. Yeah. But the second thing is around, like, having the app, right? Like,
yes.
It is so
this
important
is so huge
to have the app. Download the app. And I know that might seem like
and it's apps. It's multiple.
Multiple apps.
No, hotel, right. Rental car, airline, have insurance, have all of it.
Yep. Book all of them. Have them all added to your wallet. Like, no more printed papers, y'all, because I'm telling you, while you can still get it and while that's still affected, you're going to be in line with all the other people who don't have the app.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so it adds another 15, 20 minutes while other people are literally trying to figure out how to use the new thing. I'm not even going to lie. I did it the other day because you normally do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me go in there and see. I hadn't used one of those boarding pass machines in a while mm-hmm. because I normally can do it on the app. But for whatever reason, I wasn't able to download it. And there was a learning curve there, right? Mm-hmm. So add that learning curve for hundreds of people who don't actually travel often
yeah.
and are reliant on paper because they don't have the app, right? So whether it's Expedia, Airbnb, Delta, American Airlines, you name it, a car rental company like Avis or Enterprise, almost all of them have their own apps. And embedded in those apps are customer service options, right? So you really, really want to have that because it gives you the freedom to kind of self-serve while everyone else mm-hmm. is relying or waiting online to get a piece of paper or clogging up the phone lines and waiting. Like, even in our case with Delta, when we tried calling, there was a 55 yeah. minute wait.
And we have status.
And we have
status. It goes to a dedicated line. Right. So I don't know what the general population was waiting.
Well, again, that's 1,000 flights times 300 people. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So you are basically all in line, and everyone's got a sob story, y'all. I'm just telling you right now. So you're
everybody's
no different.
Missing something.
Everyone's got a critical situation, and half of those people are lying to see if they can do that to get to the front, just like you. So do yourself a favor. Download the app. It's like it is the cheat code. Think about it the same way as if you're going to the grocery store and you've got a bunch of people who are waiting for a cashier, and you've got a significantly smaller line of people who are willing to do self-checkout. That's the app in problem resolution mode. It is there for you, and you don't have to even leave the comfort of wherever you are to solve the problem.
Yeah. Another life hack in addition to the app is insurance. Insurance is one way to kind of mitigate the blow to expenses when unexpected things happen. But, and this is a big old but.
Oh, yeah.
It does not cover everything. And in some cases, you may actually be double dipping with what your credit card already covers. So this is important because you may need to buy additional travel insurance. Most of the top credit cards, aka the ones that you're paying an annual fee for, will offer many of the travel protections that the add-on insurances will cover. Things like delayed, lost or damaged bags, trip delays, cancellations, all that jazz. So check your card's guide to benefits to see what's available before you buy anything else. But for us, since we've been doing business travel and we use a very simple American Express business card that doesn't have an annual fee and doesn't have all the bells and whistles of amenities like travel protection, we had to buy insurance for each trip. So Delta uses, I'm just going to use Delta as an example because that's our airline of choice, but they use Alliance. So an example of what a standard policy would cover, you've got trip cancellation coverage up to $400, but the trip has to be canceled before we depart. So situations like yesterday would have been questionable. Not yesterday, Philadelphia would have been questionable. They also allow cancellations due to a pre-existing medical condition up to $400. Mm-hmm. So if you know that you have a recurring chronic illness and it may get in the way of your travel plans, you can be reimbursed up to $400 because of any cancellations as a result. There's travel delay coverage. So it's $300 max for a 24-hour period. And the delay has to be at least 6 hours. So you can't use travel delay insurance to finance your rounds at the bar during your terminal. Mm-hmm. It's got to be delayed at least 6 hours. And then it's only up to $300 per 24-hour period. So in cities like New York, LA, where a hotel alone will run you $350, just know that this is a partial reimbursement. And then if our bag is lost or delayed, they'll give you up to $550 if you know what was in it and can claim it with receipts.
Yeah.
So again, lots of contingencies. All of that coverage was about $27 per person, and that was for a domestic flight. We recently booked an international trip, and that was more expensive. It was more like $50 a person.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about 3 and 4 people, this stuff can add up. It can be an extra $100, $150 depending on, you know, if you're domestic or international to your trip.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, all right, that's an extra $100 or $50 to my ticket, that's in addition to the fact that I'm not booking through Expedia, like, and all of a sudden it's like that's on top of these premiums. I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's really expensive, to travel these days.
Well, to mitigate risk.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So yeah. We normally would not advise people to get travel insurance.
Correct.
We would normally advise you to use a credit card that's already covered or be prepared. Whatever you were going to pay for travel insurance, kind of set that aside for if something happens. But in times like this, it could be a worthy investment.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're traveling internationally and your health insurance doesn't cover you abroad, we highly recommend getting a policy that covers non-emergency medical treatment. You never know what's going to happen while you're out there, so you just want to make sure that you are covered.
Okay, so we spent the first half of the episode discussing some reactive travel tips because of the moment that we're in. But we also know as tenured travelers that this is a this too shall pass kind of period. So I kind of want to spend the last bit of time talking about proactive steps to save money and set yourself up for success. So the first tip that I'd offer is that while we believe in booking direct, I would advise that everyone start their search for destinations and trips with Google Flights, especially if your travel dates are flexible. Because Google Flights is a Google product, the search functionality is paralleled.
Yeah.
You can get really, really specific. So for example, I can search for nonstop flights for a 1 week trip within the next month from Atlanta that are less than 10 hours and get a map of all destinations and prices delivered to my inbox however I want, daily, yeah, hourly, whatever I set the parameters. And it makes it really, really easy to understand what days are cheapest to fly on. So right now I have notifications set up for opportunities during the fall and winter for both school breaks and certain cities that we're interested in going to. And so I get these daily emails with updated flight prices. And if one hits the price point that I'm looking for, I already have the money saved and I can buy it. Like, I'm saving along the way so that when it comes up for like a $200 ticket, I can just go ahead and scoop it.
Yeah, I do not have those things set up because that would drive me crazy and make me want to book a bunch of flights on impulse.
Yes, I would say put a filter on it. I do have a filter so they don't come to my inbox, but I can always check.
Yeah, but I'll also give a shout out. I've never used it, but there is a service called Scott's Cheap Flights, mm-hmm, which a friend of mine swears by. She's, yep, traveled all around the world using this website. And it's a very similar situation where you kind of put in your parameters and your budget, and then they just send it to you in your inbox. And it's like, hey, you want this really, really cheap travel? You want to go to Europe for $250?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, if you're able and at a point in your life when you can just take advantage of those things, go right ahead. We are not at that point. We got a kid and responsibilities. So that's something that we definitely are mindful of. I want to switch gears a little bit and go to baggage and luggage. And even as I'm thinking about this, I'm probably going to get booed for saying it. But another underrated time and money saving tip is to practice packing light.
Yes.
Like, pack light, pack creatively, if you will, so you can avoid checking bags. Yeah. I'm always amazed at the amount of people who still don't do this. And again, we've been traveling quite a bit over the last couple
I didn't
of
know.
Weeks.
I think suitcases have gotten bigger.
Suitcases.
Because we get on the bus and wait giant, in line. Giant.
I mean, trunks.
Yeah. I'm like, how are you lifting this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre. And I understand that, you know, different people have different needs, but I do think that in a lot of cases, people are just overpacking. And I used to be that person.
Oh, right? Me too.
Like, I used to just, you want to bring everything, options, changes of clothes. And it's like, dude, just like pack light. You're going to be there for 3 days. I understand having a couple extra pair of socks and underwear.
Yeah, but always like, bring
my
those.
My goodness, like you do not need to pack like the two bottom drawers and fit it into your luggage. And it takes practice.
It does take
but
practice.
But I don't expect everyone to get it right the first time. But if you can invest in the right tools, like TSA approved containers for your toiletries and like vacuum sealing travel bags, mm-hmm, and packing cubes, like, yes, they're going to cost you a little bit of money up front, but in the long run, it's going to save you a lot of money. Like, I'm telling you, just find a couple YouTube videos, mm-hmm, and just spend the $100, if that, on a couple of tools that can allow you to really save space and travel light. The other reason you want to do that is because, going back to some of the issues that we're having, lost luggage, canceled flights, like, you honestly, when you check luggage, like, you go ahead and kiss it goodbye. Like, you do not know if you might see that luggage again. And we had a really quick moment in Philly where we had my laptop and my camera. We were flying an airline we were not familiar with because we wanted to get by or get back home. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm rusty, but I'm not this rusty to the point where I'm about to put my stuff in there. And sure enough, this is kind of my third tip with respect to budget. Sure enough, even as we went to baggage claim, I noticed my bag had been unzipped, and I'm telling you, it was not like a TSA thing, because, mm-hmm, I think they know, well, no one that's international. My bag was unzipped. I saw at least two other people who had their bags unzipped. And so I just think the combination of chaos in airports and airlines and people being in really hard times and taking kind of desperate measures where they're looking at fancy luggage and, mm-hmm, saying, hey, there might be something valuable in there. Like, all of these things are happening at a significantly higher rate. You're not going to hear about theft. You're going to hear about baggage fees. You're going to hear about cancellations. But I'm telling you, as someone and as people who've traveled over the last couple of years, all of these things are happening far often than not. So if you're going to check your bag, do it in a way that's like, well, one, if you've got status or you're flying, booking direct, you may have the ability to just do that. Or it's included in your ticket. Take advantage of those options if you can. But if not, pack light, bring a carry-on, And if worst case scenario, you can check it at the gate.
I was just about to say that.
That's
going to
be free. You don't have to worry about actually checking it before you actually check in or get your boarding pass.
I was just about to say that. The other benefit of having a carry-on sized bag and knowing how to pack light is by the time you get to the gate, if you offer to gate check your bag, they'll take it all day. They'll take it all day. So you just have to carry it to the plane. Now, by the time you're there, you might as well put it on the overhead. But like, if you don't want to deal with it, you have layovers, they'll check it at the gate for free.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, those rates for checked bags now are like upwards of
$50. They're $30. Yeah.
$35 to $50 I've seen.
Yeah.
Which is
per bag.
Per bag. Yeah.
That's on top of the insurance, on top of the tickets. You see how this stuff adds up.
Yeah.
Now, of course, another workaround for free check bags is to sign up for the credit card or work your way up in the loyalty program. But both of those options also have fees. So at best, it's a break even if you're not a frequent traveler. And I wasn't going to mention credit cards because our last episodes have been on debt and people are probably sick of us talking about debt. And there are many, many people who are struggling with balances. But if you are in the minority of people who are debt free, Southwest actually has a deal right now where if you sign up for any of their consumer cards, you can get a companion pass free through February 2023. If you spend $5,000 within the first 3 months.
Okay.
So you got to add 3 months to whatever timeline of you getting the card, and then you have the companion pass until February. If you haven't heard of their companion pass, it's basically a buy one, get one free coupon. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great deal, especially if you have a kid or a parent that like to occasionally travel with you, but you know, can't afford their own ticket. It becomes a really easy way for you to bring somebody. So that's another couple tips on top of the
pack light. let's keep it rolling. And in the spirit of other unpopular advice, I will add, just like holding off. Like I understand the pressure to want to go, to want to book immediately. As again, people who just booked their vacation, and I've been watching YouTube videos ever since, looking forward to it, counting down the days. Like I get it. There is a lot of peace of mind when you have like a really great vacation to look forward to. But right now, flight and like travel and like room nights, all that stuff is so expensive. We are at the time of recording this, it's June 30th. I'm telling you, second half numbers will hit. Mm-hmm. I think everyone is expecting them to be disastrous. And by second half numbers, I'm referring to publicly traded companies that have to release earnings and all that stuff. And so any day now, we will probably find out that, we are now officially in our second quarter of decline. We are officially in a recession. And then those very same flights, those very same rooms will likely go at a deep discount because once people hear that red alert, they're going to be afraid and companies are going to be like, oh my gosh, what do you have to do? What can we do to entice people to fill up these rooms and to fill up these seats? And so this might actually be one of those interesting points where it actually pays to wait until the last minute to actually book. Typically, you're going to get a huge discount by booking far in advance and securing your seat. But in this case, it might be a situation where people are actually saving. I'll even go so far to say this. If there are cancellations, there's a good chance that a lot of those people are going to be business travelers who might be impacted by layoffs because of the recession, or even leisure travelers who are going to say, hey, I'd rather bank my losses and get a credit than lock myself into taking this vacation over the summer. And then all of a sudden, you see tons of availability and as a result, tons of sales to entice people to book. And so if you're looking to travel in late summer or fall and you want to book in advance or you're conditioned to think, hey, I want to book far in advance, this might be one of those situations where you want to reevaluate that. I mean, even just in our situations, we booked some travel for Jamaica. And in July, I remember looking at some of the flights and it was crazy. It was like $1,200, which is, I was like, this
a piece.
I was like, I'm not, what? I was like,
for a coach ticket.
Yeah, for a coach ticket. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, I've never seen it normally. I mean, max is like $450 or something like that. And then we looked again and it was like just under $500.
Yeah.
Right. So it's these are wild times.
Yeah.
That is revenue management, which is what they call it. It's like when people really, really want it, they're going to
raise the price
because they want to pressure test how bad you want to go. So all that to say, it's a topsy-turvy way of thinking about it. But as, again, experienced travelers and people who've worked in the industry, I'm literally telling you exactly what's going to happen. The moment a recession is called.
And it's instant.
It is instant.
Yeah.
You are going to see sales or the value of those very same tickets dropped tremendously, upwards of 25 to 30% off. Yeah. So,
and we can say that we've been booking travel for the last 18 months. We did Money on the Table last summer where we were traveling to multiple cities. We've been traveling to see family and business travel all this year. So even the experience from January to now has just been drastically different. And so it happens really quickly. It's not like other industries where in order to enact a price change, they got to go reprint labels. Like it's a button and the website updates upon refresh. Everywhere. So yeah, I think another tip if you're not brand loyal is to just buy 2 one-way tickets instead of 1 round-trip ticket.
Yes.
So you can usually find a cheaper ticket for either direction on different airlines. And again, if you're using Google Fare Alerts, you can set an alert for one-way options as well. So if you know you have to be somewhere, but you're looking at the round-trip options, try to break it up to see if returning on the Sunday is what's driving up the price.
Yep.
But you can definitely get there by Thursday really cheaply and then give yourself some time to figure out the Sunday way back. To Julian's point, to wait for some of this heat to calm down in terms of booking.
Yeah, you might even find yourself in a situation where you're flying out of a different airport or using a different carrier on your way back. So in a situation like Houston or New York or Dallas, some of these cities, D.C., where you have two or more airports, you might find a situation where actually I might fly there on Delta going into, I'm just making it up, Reagan, and then fly back coming out of, I forget the other one. Dulles, yeah. I believe it is, and I'm taking American on the way back. Yep. And because of that, I'm saving $75.
And so, because I have a carry-on, it ain't no big deal.
Yeah, pack light. I'm rolling with it. Okay, one last tip before we close, and that is to have a plan for my second favorite subject, which is food.
Oh, my goodness,
this isn't as much of an issue if you're staying, like, in an all-inclusive resort, but I want to be clear that food is ridiculously expensive everywhere right now. It's expensive in restaurants. It's expensive in groceries. And it is definitely expensive at the little sandwich place in the airport.
Okay.
So if you don't have a plan for what you're going to eat and how you're going to pay for it, the amount that you owe at the end will cause some crazy sticker shock. I'm trying to think that really nasty meal that we had. It took 20-30 minutes. It was at Delta. It was at Poppy's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a bizarre experience. I felt like I was literally
out of everything.
An episode of Atlanta. But it was horrible.
Yeah.
And it was still like $30.
Yeah.
Like just for like a simple meal. So it was really, really sticker shock. So,
and that $4 coffee we had at LaGuardia.
Horrible.
We waited 20 minutes for a cup of coffee and then it was still warm. Like, I don't understand why this is not piping hot.
Yeah. So depending on how long you're staying, obviously there are implications to what you want to do. But you always want to make sure that you bring your staples. For us, it's like granola. If we got our son, we literally do not leave. And I know parents get this, but like preparing for delays and, you know, packing what you need. Like for us, it's granola. Mm-hmm. It's having applesauce and fruit snacks and crackers and apples because they travel well compared to like peaches. I made the mistake of packing some peaches the other day and they got a little mushy.
Ambitious.
Yeah. You know, I should have ate it before I went. But always, always like have a plan for food. You want to make sure that you've got a little snack, just something to get you by, because just having that could actually help save you $25 in a pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we are traveling and thinking about where we're staying, we're mindful of where our hotel is with respect to a grocery store. If we're doing long-term travel, for sure, that's one of the first stops that we do is to get there, swing by a CVS or a Walgreens and pick up. Gosh, we were in Philadelphia just the other day. And I remember paying, you know, blocks apart. I think we got a bottle of water from a 7-Eleven, which was like $1.50. And then we got another one from a CVS and it was like $3.50. You know what I mean? So it's little things like that. It's having the extra K-cups, or if you're a coffee drinker, having your instant coffee pack of preference. Just like thinking through some of those quick needs that might save you $5 or $10, but it happens 3 to 4 times throughout the day, can almost be like a meal replacement.
Yes.
And save you upwards of $50. And I get it. You might think like, oh, that's pennies, but little things like that actually can make the difference between you getting a room with a view or a room or flying, you know, in Comfort Plus or some upper level of service versus the alternative. So, yeah, it's just something to think about. with respect to meals.
Yeah, we also try to balance the cost level. You know, you know where you're staying and what part of town. So if we're staying downtown or in a really popular area, we may take advantage of the things that are walkable a couple of times.
Right.
But typically we're making reservations at reasonably priced options that are a little further away. And bonus points if there's something to do there. But again, to your point, you'd be surprised at how much the price varies just because you're simply willing to go a little further from the city center.
Yep.
Man, we might have to do a two-part on this or even a video series because there's a lot we didn't cover.
Yeah.
Transportation activities. I probably could have talked for 20 more minutes on how I fit our stuff in carry-on bags.
Taxi,
like,
Uber, or yeah. Lyft.
Well,
pre-gaming and packing it all in your... In your luggage, if you're bringing it, like all those things are pretty cool tips.
Yeah. All right. So final thoughts. I was going to give a philosophical answer about the benefits of travel, but I still have so many tips in my head. So my final thought is going to be my final tip, which is to always bring headphones. Bonus points if you bring the ones with a cord so you can take advantage of in-flight entertainment.
Yep.
But I don't think I need to explain this.
Well,
just
you don't
know,
just need the cord. You need the 3.5 millimeter.
Yeah, you can't use the Apple cord.
You can't use the lightning plug.
Exactly. The lightning plug. Yeah, yeah. So I don't think I need to explain this. I just know that, like, there's a lot of stressed out people right now. There's a lot of people who are leaving their homes for the first time in a long time. They've got high expectations for the entire journey. And inevitably, they become disappointed or it just gets rowdy on a flight. So the ability to kind of forget the experience you just had at the airport, zone out for 2 hours and watch a movie is unmatched. So don't forget your headphones and bring some for your kids, too.
I'm going to take it a step further. And to your point, my final thought, and I think the best tip of all, because I guarantee you nobody is doing this, is to be really, really nice to your flight attendants.
Yes.
These are the people who can make dreams happen. We just came back from a vacation at Disney and all these people were giving me all these tips. Like, oh, the person who's waiting at the monorail, they trust me, everyone is equipped and they can give you fast passes. And if you just really dance for them and show out and let them know that you're happy to be there, they are empowered to make magic happen for you. Well, flight attendants can make magic happen for you too. And be nice to them. Be nice to the service agents. Be especially kind to them. Make them laugh. Make them smile. And I guarantee you, one of them, especially in a pinch, because you might be the nicest person they talk to all day.
Yeah.
So if you can
They'll
muster
put you on
up,
a flight.
Oh my gosh.
Our friend Courtney just told us a story about this.
Oh yeah. Be nice to them. Help them out. If you've got something, pull out all the stops, but just be nice to them. Do not berate them. Do not be that person, because trust me, it will not get you anywhere. I know this from personal experience. I know this from professional experience. And so we're sharing that with you guys now. And hopefully you can get out of the summer unscathed.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success. If you like what you heard and want to be really, really, really nice to your favorite podcast hosts, head on over to the ratings and review page to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We will see you next week.